Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace. The Lord has promised good to me. His word, my hope, secures. He will my shield and portion be, as long as life endures. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow, the sun forbear to shine. But God, who calls me here below, will be forever mine. Will be forever mine. You are forever mine.
Don't we have any short people in this church? I feel like I'm in the submarine corps with a periscope. Good morning. It is beautiful outside, and I think it's even warmer and beautiful, more beautiful inside, just by the smiles on your all's faces today. We're continuing with Paul's writing of a letter to his young protege, Mr. Timothy. We spoke last week about how Timothy became his helper.
when Paul refused to take John Mark on a trip with him. He just not feel successful with John. He didn't feel that John was quite honest and up to the task. That was the best way I could put that. We spoke last Sunday morning from the second chapter, the first verses. I want to read one verse from that, and we're going to go on forward. I urge you then, first of all, that petitions and prayers and intercessions and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live in peace and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. There is but one God and one mediator between God and mankind, that man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. This is how it has been written. For this purpose I was appointed a herald, a prophet. I am telling the truth, I am not lying, a true and faithful teacher of the Gentiles. Pray with me. Lord God, we look to you for help every day. We've mentioned many who are sick, and we all know some others whose names have not been mentioned that are sick, that are recovering, that need your help and assistance. Be with their caregivers and their loved ones. As Joanne goes into surgery this week, be with him and help Shirley to get better. And be with Caleb and as they try to find what's wrong with him. And just, we need help. Give us strength. Bless our country, Father. Of all the turmoil that's in the world, let us not be consumed by it. Be overcomers. That will not let us get in our way. Dear Lord, bless our congregation. We spread the good news. We may share the love of Christ wherever we go. Be with all of us as individuals and as a corporate worship itself. Be with our missionaries and our military, our first responders and those who give us help and aid. And be with the speaker today, I pray in Christ's name. Amen. When I was a sophomore in high school, I was on the football team. I weighed 135 pounds. I was a lineman, and we would line up in tackling drills. And nobody else would take Mr. Bill Hager, who stood opposite of me, at 245 pounds. And I'm supposed to tackle and pick him up and carry him six steps because nobody else wanted to. What I'm about to talk with you today is Bill Hager. Because in the 68 years I've been in church, I've never heard this part of the scripture spoken about. This may be the last sermon I preach here, because some of you may not like it. But these are not my words. I'm just trying to explain what God is telling the Apostle Paul to tell us. Go with me, if you would, to the second chapter of the book of 1 Timothy. We pick up in verse 8. Second chapter, Timothy, verse 8. These are the words of the prophet and the apostle. Therefore, I want men everywhere to pray, lifting up holy hands without anger or disputing. I also want women to dress modestly, with decency, propriety, adorning themselves not with elaborate hairstyles or gold or pearls or expensive clothes, but with good deeds, appropriate for women who profess to worship God. A woman should learn in quietness, full submission. I do not permit a woman to teach or assume authority over a man. She must be quiet. For Adam was formed, then Eve, and Adam was not the one deceived, but it was the woman who deceived and became a sinner. But women will be saved through childbearing if they continue in faith and love and holiness and propriety. Now, I'm not going to walk out the door. Some of you might. I don't know. Go back with me 2,000 years ago in the times of Christ and then the apostles. It was an evil world. There were, even within the churches and congregations, braggarts, people who wanted to feel important and special in their lives and therefore subject others to them. And Paul first addressed them. The reason that he told the men to pray with their hands up was to show they had nothing they were holding with them or holding back at all. Matter of fact, in today's Sunday school lesson itself, when the King Solomon anointed and prayed for the temple, he started out praying with his hands up. Then he got down on his knees with still his hands up to show submersiveness to God. So when we come before church, and this is talking about corporate worship. That's what this lesson's about. It's corporate worship. When we come and worship, we should leave all things behind. We don't need to have our cell phone in our hand going through Sukidoo. We don't need to be looking at the latest Facebook or watching whose ball team is scoring something. We don't need to have things on our mind that's interrupting. We should dedicate ourselves to God. And that's the empty hands. And we dedicated ourselves to God. Nothing else should be in the way. All the thoughts of the world should be put away. Secondly, we're to be sincere in our prayers. Jesus would tell them that they were not to pray like the Pharisees were, who used vain repetitions over and over, speaking the same thing, almost a memorized prayer. My very first church in Lexington, Kentucky. We had an old, it was a farm church. It was a farm church. And we had a man who only, he spoke, he was educated, he spoke good English, but he prayed King James. Thou dost heareth us, our Lordeth. Took me a while to catch on what he was doing, because I grew up with King James, but I never heard anybody praying King James. And that's the way he did. He thought he could impress people with those words. We need to be careful about that. God knows what we want. Better than that, God knows what we need. He just wants us to express it to him. And you don't have to have a PGS. What do you call that thing? PhD. You see, I don't have a PhD. You don't have to have a PhD to talk to God. You got to have sincerity to talk to God. You have to have love and concern to talk to God. And getting other things out of the way. And that's what Paul is trying to tell them. Now, in that period of time, there was one of the heights of sin in the world. And Paul was just totally conflicted by these sinners. Not only were the Jews who didn't want him to teach about Christ because it was putting them down, but also the worldly things. Let me go back just a little bit. Let's read it. I don't want you to think I'm making this up. I wouldn't make this up. I also want women to dress modestly. In that period of time, they had a goddess called, I got to look at my notes. What is it? Just a second. Oh, it's on the other book. Hold on. Got to get this said right. Aphrodite. And they worshipped her big time. Thousands and thousands of followers. They were up on the Acropolis. And their religion had become a religion, I hope not to offend anybody, but if you don't know this word, it won't offend you anyway. They become a religion of prostitutes. They worked it out, so that's how you worship. You go up and pay a fee to a woman, and the temple virgins, they were called them, when they were neither virgins nor in a god's temple, but they would pay them. They did sexual relationships in their worship. Later on in Corinth, where Timothy was bound to go, it was the same thing with Diana of Ephesus. They claimed that they, have you ever seen in the book, a goddess fell out of the sky. It was a meteorite. It had no arms, no legs, some bumps on it, and they called it their goddess, and they would worship her through prostitution. These ladies were known to dress fancy, expensive clothing, revealing, you must think, gold and silver and jewels and pearls, and their hair would always stay quite disheveled. I don't know why, and we won't address that at all. But Paul is addressing the situation that they were in to let them know that this is not good with God. Let's go a little further. The elaborate hairstyles, or gold or pearls, they gave themselves away. And Paul says, a Christian woman should be totally looking and acting and being different than a prostitute to a false god. And if you dress and look like them, you might accidentally start acting like them or be mistaken for them, and that would even be worse. So Paul wants some propriety in our worship time. A woman should learn in quietness and submission. They had what was called the mysterious religions. Made up, of course. We've got them all over the place today. Pam, the song I was trying to think of last week was called O Buddha. And it ends up the last line, we worship the Son of God, not Sun Yin Moon. If you remember the Moonies back in the 60s, that's what that whole song was written about. And there are a lot of these mysterious religions where people try to take you over. And by introducing pleasure in sexuality, by introducing that pleasure, they gain people who follow them. Some gained because they introduced fame and all these things. There are a lot of cults that come about now that try to take you in and warm you up, make you feel good about yourself, but are not godly whatsoever. And they may call themselves Christian, or they may call themselves godly, or they may call themselves holy, but they're just the opposite. Paul wants us to be aware of that and stay away from that. And in these mysterious religions, they were all led by women, and they all involved prostitution once again. I do not permit a woman to teach or assume authority over a man. She must be quiet. Now, back up. What do we start in verse 1? Let me read verse 1 again before we start there. I urge you, first of all, that petitions and prayers, intercession, thanksgiving made for all people. He's talking about worship time. If you would say, gentlemen, and don't make any of those jokes because I don't need it today. You would say, gentlemen, that your wife could never talk at your house. It would get boring. And you wouldn't know anything. I mean, the old question is, and I was asked this by my wife, if you're out in the forest talking, are you still wrong? Maybe I should say it better. If you're out in the forest talking and I'm not there, would you still be wrong? Maybe that's the way it goes. I don't know. But it's that I do not permit a woman to teach or assume authority over man. She must be quiet within the church. First Adam was formed, then Eve. I think you've heard that story. We call it the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings. And Adam was not the one deceived. You probably told that story before. It was the woman who became deceived and then the sinner. But women will be saved through childbirth. Okay, now wait a minute. Now you're being nosy. Because there's a lot of women who've chosen or not been able to have children. Got nothing to do with what I'm talking about. The woman that had the child was named who? Mary. It was through woman Mary's birth of a child that we got Jesus. Through Jesus, we got salvation. That's what he's talking about. You don't have if you had a child and you became a Christian automatically, the church would be bursting over. It's not that way. It was through Mary that the salvation came to all of us. I am not yet the man, regardless of Danny DeVito and Arnold Schwarzenegger's movie, I am not yet a man who had a child, who birthed a child. Some of you have seen it. It was a terrible movie. It was funny. It's going to be. The childbirth, Jesus came through Mary. John the Baptizer came through Mary. James and John the Revelator came through their mothers, who was probably also called Mary, I do believe. John the Baptizer came through Elizabeth. I'll get that straight now. But through childbirth, the world shall be saved if they continue in faith, love, and holiness and propriety. So what he's saying here, let's do things for the right reason. Putting on the correct attitudes. Now, some great teachers, some of my best teachers in school and college. Matter of fact, most of us had nothing but women teachers in elementary school. That's just what to do. And there's a lot of great things that come from having helpmeets. I would not be a preacher today if it wasn't for Becky. There's no way possible. Couldn't do it all. Wouldn't know what I'll do and wouldn't know what to do. And I think a lot of you have been lucky to have chosen the right spouse feel the same way as well. Paul goes in chapter 3, verse 1. Here is a trustworthy... Anybody left yet? Whew, got lucky. Here is a trustworthy saying. It's hot in here, isn't it? Here is a trustworthy saying. Whoever aspires to be an overseer seeks a noble task. You may find that in King James. The word may be in some of them elder or bishop. Overseer, one who's in charge of the congregation, is a noble task. You've taken on a leadership position. That is hard to do. If you've ever been the leader of anything, PTA, PTO, Cub Scout, Boy Scouts, Little League, God bless you if you try that, or anything else, if you've ever been a leader, you know how difficult that is. A crew chief at your job, a shift chief at your hospital or something like that, it's tough. But God decided that people need leaders. And we should be willing to be a good leader. If we seek that position, we must be ready for what comes with it. The best leader of all time, I think you may say with Dwight, Jesus. And what did they do to him? Kill him. It is not that easy to be a leader. But yet we need leadership, Paul says. It is a noble task. Now, the overseer must be above reproach. Now we're given a description of what the leader is. Folks, I'm standing in the middle. I'm not on the right side or left side, okay? Right now in the congregation, I'm in the middle. We've had some pretty bad politicians on both parties. You would admit that, would you not? Please shake your head yes. Thank you very much. I feel better. Maybe they tried to be good. Maybe they never intended to be good. Maybe they didn't have it in them to be good leaders. I don't know. But every time that happens, we have hardships. And when people follow them, wrong things are done, even if it's for the right reasons. And the only reason we should do things is because it is a godly thing to do that helps the kingdom, that helps our fellow men and women and the world. It's a noble task. The overseer must be above reproach, faithful to his wife, temperate. In other words, easygoing, not a hothead, okay? Self-controlled. If they ever invent a pill for self-control, somebody's going to be a millionaire. Respectable. Aretha Franklin made that word famous. R-E-S-P-E-C-T, I think that's the way it goes. But a lot of people don't know what it means to be respectable. Somebody you'd look up to. I had a fellow one time say, here's how you have respect for somebody. You would send your wife and kids on vacation with your best friend, and he would send his wife on vacation with you, and nobody would be worried about what happened. That's respect. That's love. That's compassion. That's concern. Happened to us once. School wasn't letting out soon enough for us. Scott had never missed a day of class in his life, so Harold with the daughters who was all here about 2 weeks ago, he and Becky and one of our kids and one of his kids took off, and I and his wife and one of my kids and me stayed here for an extra 3 days. Not a problem, not a worry at all. That's what kind of people a leader need to be. You don't have to worry about things. Hospitable. You've got to be kind to others. Welcome them in. Apt to teach. Task is pretty tough. Those of you who've ever been in front of a crowd and have ever spoken in front of a crowd know that that is not the easiest thing in the world. They say that's the greatest fear of all. Worse than fire, worse than drowning, worse than death is to stand in front of a crowd and speak. Some of you have been there. Some of you wouldn't try it if your life depended on it. And some of you wish you never had. I kind of like it. You couldn't tell. Not given to drunkenness. That's that self-control once again. Not given to drunkenness. Not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome. I'm told this is a true story. I think it is because I know where it happened. There's a back in the old days before we had interstates, we had U.S. highways. And the road went from Knoxville to Lexington, from Lexington to Georgetown, from Georgetown to Cincinnati. And there was a truck stop and a restaurant there. Anybody ever been to a real truck stop? I mean, really truck stop, best food in the world, if you get it down. Bunch of bikers came in one day and parked and went in, and there was an old-time truck driver sitting at the front counter. We had snack, remember snack bars? Before there was a McDonald's, there were snack bars. This guy was sitting there eating, quiet, not bothering anybody. One of the guys walked up and grabbed his salad, just put his hand and gupped it down. Next biker came along, grabbed his tater, shoved it in, skin and all. That was a baked potato, by the way. Another guy just grabbed the green beans and poured them down his throat. Third one just took the steak and chewed it up and threw the bone on the floor. And the last guy came up and drank his coffee down, and the biker started laughing, just laughing, after they shared the pie, a whole pie. The man got up, paid his bill, walked out the door and left. One of these mean bikers. I know some of you ride motorcycles. I'm not picking on you. Unless you did this. One of the bikers said, "Hey, much of a man, is he?" The guy behind the counter said, "Ain't much of a truck driver either, just ran over 7 bicycles, motorcycles." Sam's Truck Stop, it was called, if you've ever been there. Not quarrelsome. That would have been quarrelsome. Not a lover of money. He must manage his own family well and see his children obey him. He must do so in a manner worthy of respect, full respect. There's that respect word again. God wants us to put on a good life so people can see us and say, well, that person's different. He doesn't act. Well, if they'd have put me in that situation, I would have done this or that and the other. But I respect him for the way he acts or what he does or what she does in their lives together. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? He must not be a recent convert. We had a recent convert in that first church I was in. They made him a deacon in 3 months. They made him an elder within a year, and it caused nothing but problem because he had not been a Christian for 3 months when he became a leader. And he didn't have the leadership skills, didn't have the knowledge. Must not be a recent convert. How would you like it if you was given a court-appointed attorney and you're the very first case he had ever tried, and it was a murder case? You ever had surgery? First thing I do is go and I look at the doctor's wall. And I see when he got his graduation. If his graduation came from Tobago or Jamaica or somewhere, How many times have you done a surgery, doc? Well, you'll be number one. I said, no, I'll find somebody else. I want somebody who's got experience. They're going to cut on me. He must have a good reputation with outsiders so that he will not fall into disgrace and in the devil's trap. The devil is working on us at all times. Watch the movie Elmer Gantry and see about that one. Burt Reynolds. Who? Burt Lancaster. I knew Burt was there somewhere. It can happen. And people can be drawn away. And that's not the way leadership. Let me tell you what, I love this church. The men of this church that are leading us are leading us in the right direction. And it's good. And we need to support them. And we need to be involved. This church is growing because of God's will and the leadership from the men of this church. That's great. And all the volunteers, give me a break. This is the most volunteering church I've ever been in because people love God here. And they want to share. Give me something to do, is what I've heard more than once. In the same way, deacons, and deacons are appointed all the way back to Peter, back when the apostles were working the feeding tables, and he said, we've got to be preaching. We can't be working the tables. And they appointed 7 men of good repute, it says. Are to be worthy of respect and sincere, not indulging in much wine, not pursuing dishonest gain. They must keep hold of the deep truths of the faith with clear signs. You got to know the Bible, then live the Bible. You don't want a novice. You want somebody experienced. YouTube has done a great disservice. Because you can watch that 15-minute video and think you can change the motor on a car. And it always ends up you get about 40 pieces more than you started with. You got to be careful about those who are inexperienced. They'll lead you in the wrong path. What's the commercial now? I don't know who it's for, but the famous word is, it's okay. I'm okay. You seen that one? Doctor says, I just got my license back. And then the boy says to the nurse, how is he? She says, well, he's okay. No, I don't want okay. I want the best. You nurses know what I'm... You met some okie dokes too. In the same way, women ought to be worthy of respect. Not malicious talkers, but temperate and trustworthy in everything. My second favorite show, you don't know what it is. It's called Hee Haw. Number one, of course, Beverly Hillbillies. Hee Haw. And then blinds get up there and they sing that song about, and it says like this, we don't go around repeating gossip, so you better listen well the first time. Well, aren't there people like that? Have you heard? That's what they know. Have you heard? And they want to spill some gossip. 3 preachers were caught out in a boat and a storm came. I can make it personal. Charlotte Bay was actually the Kentucky River. But bad storm came. One of them said, well, we're all going to drown. So God says we need to confess our sins. Well, the first preacher said, I collect all the leftover communion wine and I drink it. Get drunk sometimes. Nobody knows it but me. Second one says, well, I decide God doesn't need all this money this week, so I'm just going to put half of it in my pocket. The storm broke. The boat started rowing back. And so the third preacher said, where are you going so fast? He says, well, my sin is I'm a gossiper. I can't wait to get back to town. We need to be careful about that. Not malicious talkers, temperate, trustworthy in everything. Do you have somebody you tell your dark secrets to? Do you have somebody you trust your cell phone number with? Do you have somebody that knows where your secret bank account is or something like that? You should be that person that can be trustworthy. Deacon must be faithful to his wife, manage his children and household well, and those who have served well gain an excellent standing and a great assurance in the faith of Christ Jesus. Now, I'm supposed to preach that sermon about a month from now when we get ready to vote for our deacons and elders and our board. You got it today. Although I hope to come to you soon, this is Paul writing now to Timothy. Although I hope to come to you soon, I'm writing these instructions so that if I am delayed, you will know how people ought to act, how to conduct themselves in God's household, within our family, the family of God. Well, now, Paul didn't make it to Ponta Gorda. At least I haven't seen Ponce de Leon did, but Paul didn't. But his message did. And though it was written near 2,000 years ago, it applies to us today. And that's the blessing. We don't have to guess what God wants to do. He sent the apostles and the writers of the Gospels to tell us. In God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the foundation of the truth, beyond all question. Are you sure? Are you really sure? Are you really, really sure? You ever asking about those questions? But I mean, are you absolutely, positively, without question of doubt, pinky swear, sure? I put the pinky swear in because that's what my grandkids want to do. Beyond all question, the mystery in which the true God of springs is great. He appeared in the flesh, was vindicated by the Spirit. Authenticated, I like that word better, by the Spirit, was seen by the angels, was preached upon by the nations, among the nations, lived in a world, and was taken up in glory. And we know that happened in the first chapter of the book of Acts. It's that easy. We've got the recipe. He's told us how we should act in our corporate worship, how we're responding to each other, how things are made better. We don't have to go out and create a new religion. That was done by Jesus years ago. On the job Friday, the carpenter got in an air curtain. I don't know if you know what that is. This thing that blows down when you open the drive-thru door or something. He got an air curtain in. Opened up the first box. There was no instructions. So he hung the first two boxes. Took us a while to do it. I had to help him. Opened up the third box. He said, this is a different air curtain than the other two. He opened up the fourth box. Well, this is the same as the third one and different from the other two. The first two didn't have instructions because they were in the third and the fourth box. He hung them wrong. He hung two A's together and two B's together. Guess what we did the rest of the afternoon? Took down the air curtains and hung them back up because we didn't follow the instructions. We've got the instructions. If you don't have one, take one home with you. We'll be glad to let you have one. We've got the instructions. The easy part's to follow them because they've already been written. What must I do to be saved? They asked Simon Peter on the day of Pentecost. Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins, and you shall receive the Holy Spirit. That day over 3,000 gave their lives to Christ, and the church was started. It's still hot in here. But we made it. You may never speak to him again, but I believe what I just read is important for us to know. Pamela, our hymn of invitation is what now?
247. The question is, are you lost in the...
Oh, I love it. I love it. Stand with me as we sing hymn number 247 as our invitation hymn.
To Jesus for the cleansing power. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Oh, stop! And let's speed it up a bit, ladies. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb. Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?